This is an RNIB Connect radio podcast.
We Are All Memory Bodies is an accessible exhibition which explores the relationships between touch, memory and sensation. I'm joined now by choreographer and producer Charlotte Spencer. Charlotte, welcome into RNIB Connect Radio.
Hi, nice to be here.
We Are All Memory Bodies happens this Friday, March the 7th at 5:30pm at the Dance Space in Brighton. Charlotte, tell us about some of the works that make up the exhibition.
Yeah, so on Friday, there's going to be three artworks out of the collection that people can come along and get involved with. So I might say just a tiny bit more about the kind of premise for We're All Memory Bodies, this exhibition that we're working on, that eventually will have six artworks that are part of it, and all of them are in some way you can participate in them. And the idea, I guess, for We're All Memory Bodies was to try and create an exhibition that invited people, rather than to primarily look at it and not touch it, were primarily artworks that you could get involved in, that you could be in conversation with the artist, that you could be making things, as in crafting, that you could be experiencing them in a variety of ways, through listening, through resting, through conversation. And so it was a bit of a way of, I guess, trying to turn the idea of an exhibition on its head slightly, I suppose. And I guess my interest as a choreographer has always been that we experience our lives through our bodies primarily, and we are always moving. Whether that's just sitting or even sleeping, while we're alive, we're always in movement. And that's the beginning always of things for me. And so I was interested in how we might create an exhibition that invites people to pay more attention to the sensations of what it is to be in and with their bodies. And then each of these artworks sort of does that in a different way, I suppose. So Do Not Wash, which is Becky Edmonds' work, she got really curious during the pandemic about the practice of embroidery. It was new to her as a craft, and she discovered that when she went to visit her mother, she found a whole lot of embroidered tray cloths that her grandmother had embroidered. And she never met her grandmother, and she'd always felt a little bit like she didn't really know who that person was. And it struck her very strongly when she held these little tray cloths that her grandmother had touched them, that her DNA was embedded in them, and it made her feel really close to this person that she'd never met. And so the idea with Do Not Wash is that gradually across an afternoon, a whole collection of people who come into the exhibition can join Becky to do some sewing on the same bit of canvas, and as they're sewing with her, they are having a conversation about maybe their memories or experiences of sewing. But in the process of it, they are passing this needle with thread between the two of them, and in that way embedding their own DNA into the canvas. So every person that joins that project with her across an afternoon will have put a little bit of themselves literally into the canvas. And the idea is that that canvas is never washed, and so it sort of holds something of all those people within it. Our Hands by Vicky Malin is a conversation around a sketchbook, really. Vicky has a really large sketchbook which is used for this project, and people come and sit around the table with her, and she holds a very beautiful, gentle way of having a conversation about your relationship, perceptions, possibilities, memories, stories of your hands. Somehow in the process of it, just through the questions that Vicky asks and this sort of really light invitation, people share these really lovely, beautiful memories, often, sometimes quite profound, about their kind of experiences and relationships with their hands. And I suppose we do a lot of things with our hands through our lives. So it just sort of teases out those encounters. And then the film, Everyday Tactility, was a film that I made with Zoe Manders towards the end of the pandemic. And I guess that was a very particular moment in time when touching other people was banned for the first time in my lifetime, at least. And I was very struck by how that experience sort of might be landing with lots of different people. And I heard a neuroscientist talking on the radio about this idea of touch hunger, that we're all missing out on being able to touch each other. And because of that, lots of people were really trying to, I mean, I don't think it was a conscious thing, it was just something that happened. We're doing things that were deeply tactile as a way of sort of replacing or giving themselves the things that they were missing through exchanges with other people. And that might have been by, I don't know, having long showers or long baths or making bread or doing craft activities, things which were actually really tactile. So I got interested in this idea of trying to capture the everyday, really deeply tactile things that we do without really noticing. And then subsequently, we've had that film fully audio described. And part of my interest with trying to make this collection of works as accessible as possible to blind and visually impaired people is, I guess, an acknowledgement that especially touch, but also sound, I imagine, is a kind of primary mode of confirmation for people for whom they can't see or can't see so well. For me, I'm a sighted person. I think often the primary mode of confirmation is by seeing something. Like I might hear it and then I look and then it gets confirmed. But my understanding is that if you're not someone that sees so well, then you're going to use other senses to confirm what you think is happening or what is around locating. And so it felt really important somehow, if this project was all about our relationship with touch, that it was made accessible for people for whom sight is not their primary mode.
And this isn't the first time that these works have been performed and shared. What's the reaction been like from blind and partially sighted visitors to the exhibition in the past?
It was really, really positive. I think we've been working closely with a audio describer and access consultant, and I think she's really helped with guiding our preparation. So preparing lots of audio introductions, testing them out with visually impaired people, and just gathering their responses. So I would say, in terms of the artworks themselves, the integration of the audio description into the artworks is quite seamless now. And the people that came felt like they could access each work really fully, which was
Well, where can people find
amazing.
out a bit more information about We Are All Memory Bodies and book tickets to attend on Friday?
So it's free to attend and you don't need to book in advance. So via the Southeast Dance website and also my website, charlottespencerprojects.org, there is on the events page, there's information about the event on Friday, which runs from 5:30 until 7 p.m. And as I said, you can come and go as you like. You don't have to come at 5:30. You can come anytime in that 1.5 hour period. And there's no need to book in advance. There will be additional people, myself and the producer that I work with, available to help guide people if there's anyone that needs support with accessing or navigating the space once they arrive. But yeah, no need to book, and we would love to see as many people there as would love to come.
Charlotte Spencer, choreographer and producer of We Are All Memory Bodies. Thanks for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks so much for having me.